What's up, y'all? This is your girl Samantha, and this is my podcast, Naturalize. So, I'm gonna be doing things a little bit different today because, y'all, if I don't release today, I'm 2 weeks behind because I had originally recorded a podcast, but it deleted. I accidentally deleted it somehow, some way. So, I was trying to reshoot it last week, but I just didn't get around to it. I was kind of busy, and so I didn't really get a chance to. So here I am, a couple days late, but delayed is not denied, and better late than never, right? So I'm excited because I've been wanting to talk about this, and maybe I feel like a part of it is like God was like needing to give me a little bit of more revelation and also allow me to process my feelings a little bit more too, because I was a little bit rowdy in the last episode. It was still facts, period, but not in the last episode, but the last episode that I recorded that didn't go through. But I needed to digest some more things and really focus on what this next episode was gonna be, because I did want to take a moment to pause the marriage series to talk about, you know, some other stuff, but then I was like, no, because I'm gonna go ahead and get through this marriage series so that I can start doing some other things that are on my calendar for me to do. So I need to go ahead and knock these topics out that I have already jotted down, so that I can start doing what I have plans for in the season to come. So I was like, let me just, you know, not take a pause, but just keep going. So today I'm in the kitchen because if you've been rocking with me, okay, YouTube just became a thing this year. This podcast been a thing for almost 3 years now, almost. So you got to go back to season one, which is not available on YouTube. It's only audio. Season one through four, I think, is definitely season one, two, and three for sure. Are just audio only. So you have to go back and you have to listen, like Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Verbal, Reason, all those streaming platforms, because that is the part that leads. It's all been a process. So if you just jotting in, I'm having you here, but you need to see the steps that led me to this point. So if you've been rocking with me for a while, you know, some episodes back when I was just doing audio stuff, you would hear me in the background cooking, because I was basically wanting people to know you got to be willing to give what God is telling you to give, even when you're inconvenienced. And most of y'all know, you know, I was a single mom for a long time and all this and that. And so I was having to cook, clean, do all this type of stuff, but I didn't want it to make me feel as if I had to put the things that God had told me to do on hold. So I would cook and be talking on the podcast. I would be, you know, doing whatever, talking on the podcast. So that's why I'm in the kitchen today, because my kids are asleep. I need to hurry up and get this podcast done because summer don't sleep long. And then I'm trying to wash dishes and clean up too, because I have a routine that I got going on right now. And so you're going to hear a lot of clanking if you listen to the streaming and not watching the YouTube. And then if you're watching the YouTube, you might see my hair go down a little bit because I'm literally like washing dishes trying to get this all situated. So I'm happy y'all tuning in. I've been reading the comments. Love it, you know. And just thankful, you know, for all the feedback and all the support that I've been receiving, you know, doing this. Because, like I say all the time, first of all, it ain't easy doing what God has called you to do. I keep telling people, following God is not aesthetically pleasing at all. It's not cute. It's not demure. It's not none of that, okay? But you gotta be okay with doing what God's called you to do, even if, you know, it's hard or, you know, people got something to say, people think they know everything, people think they know what they're talking about, all this type of stuff. People gonna support you, people not gonna support you. It's gonna be all of that. But the thing I love the most about me is knowing that God has prepared me for the position that I'm in right now, so I can take it. I'm a big girl, I can handle it. I also know, you know, certain things are required of me, you know, because I've been trained to handle the spot that I'm in right now. So the old me would have been off my rockers, okay? Because if you know, you know. If you know me, then you know how I give it up, right? Well, the old me, because I ain't like that no more. I'm not no hothead. I'm not, you know, trying to tussle. I ain't trying to do all that. Because I got somewhere to go and I got something to do and I gotta be on my way. So I've been equipped, you know, to handle everything that God has asked me to do in this season, but that doesn't make it easier, you know, because at the end of the day, you human and you got feelings too. And just because God called you to do something, don't always mean you want to. But again, obedience is better than sacrifice. So I'm gonna do what God's called me to do, because if God's plans are not to harm me but to prosper me, then I'm going to be on my way by being obedient and not being stuck in my feelings. Anyway. So I'm just thankful, you know, for the love shown, the support, all of that, the feedback, you know, people, you know, chiming in with, you know, marriage and all this type of stuff just go around. I love that. I love it. I love it. I love it, because we are called to grow from one another, you know, and you gotta, you know, these be the times where people need to come together, you know. You know what I mean? Like, it literally be talking about in the Bible, you know, you should be able to carry your brothers and your sisters' burdens and stuff like that. So I'm appreciative of all that is shown, you know, like whether you're rocking with it, whether you're not rocking with it, I'm good. Because when you realize no man can close any door that God has opened, I'm good. You know what I mean? So my podcast topic today I wanted to talk about is, it's titled Watch Your Mouth, right? And it's titled Watch Your Mouth for a reason. So I've been in this season where my marriage is falling apart, fell apart, fell apart, where I want out. And, you know, I'm in this space where, you know, if you have been previously watching and, you know, being in tune with what I got going on or whatever like that, then, you know, like I'm like, I've done everything that I could do, you know, spiritually and all of that type of stuff. And if we're being honest, the synopsis of why, you know, this ain't working is because what was once equally yoked has now become unequally yoked, because we on two different agendas, and I'm just not willing to conform to something God has not asked me to conform to. I want marriage, but I don't want something more than I want God. So if it's asking me to compromise, I'm just not willing to do it. So God, if I got to give it up, I'm cool with that. Because again, I just know God has so much more in store for me, you know, like if that's what he's asking of me, I'm cool with that. So this series is, so that's, you know, what this series is about. But this episode is Watch Your Mouth, because if you know me, then you know the old me, I had an issue where, you know, my mouth was a thing, right? My mouth, I've just always been that type of person. Even my mother used to say it when I was a kid. She'd just be like, that mouth of yours, that mouth of yours. But I realized that the same thing, I teach this on my podcast, the same thing the enemy want to use, the same thing God want to use, the enemy want to use too. So the gifts and the talents that God has given you can use it for God's glory, or you can use it for the enemy's glory. It worked both ways. It's just not going to produce the same if you choose one over the other, okay? Because you're gonna always have your gifts and talents. God instilled it in you. However, favor will not shine upon those gifts and talents the same way they will if you're following Christ versus when you're not following Christ. So you can always have the gifts and talents, but that doesn't mean it's gonna produce at the rate and at the level of success that it would if you were in relationship with God or whatever. So My mouth was the thing that God, my mouth is the thing that God is using, right? I wouldn't be having this podcast if my voice was not my gift, if my voice was not a part of my calling. So, but again, I didn't know this as a child, right? The enemy will try to get to you at a young age because you're innocent. Once he can allow you to learn these type of things, you stay in these type of things because once all you know is all you know, that's all you know, and that's all you operate as. So he'll try to get you early on so that you never come to this point of realization that the thing the enemy is after is the same thing God is after. So my mouth was my thing, right? Even as a child, people used to just, like my mother used to make me feel like, oh, don't say this, don't say that. Whole time, the things I was telling my mother about herself was actually true. Like we went through a lot of things as children that we shouldn't have went through. And I was advocating for me and my brother, who was going through that at the time, and also who was, I'm his biggest, I'm his big sister. Yeah, we got one more sister or whatever like that, but I was just observant as a child. So I saw a lot of things that my brother did not see. And I was able to understand a lot of things that my brother was not able to understand. And again, that goes back to God doing something different in each and every one of us. Some things God shield you from so you can't see certain things. Some things God open your eyes to so that you don't miss it. And because God didn't want me to miss certain things with that, especially because having a bad mother is a generational curse in my family. My mother was not a good mother to me because her mother was not a good mother to her. So I had to, God opened my eyes at such a young age because I was going to be the one, I'm the chosen one to say, hey, that's not getting passed down to my kids. So my eyes had to be open and my senses had to be in heightened for me to be able to gravitate to the things that God was showing me, although I wasn't able to fully process it and put the dots together and connect the pieces. He was showing me early on things that would later make sense. So my mouth was my thing, right? I would tell my mother certain things, like that she was doing that was not right. And because a child should stay in a child's place, quote unquote, you kind of get deemed, you get in trouble or whatever like that for quote unquote things you should not be saying, right? Whole time I'm just advocating for me and my brother because we deserve better than this. I don't know what we deserve because we kids, but I do know it ain't this. You know what I mean? So, for the longest as a child, I was told like, oh, your mouth, your mouth, your mouth, right? Whole time, most of the time that I was saying what was saying, whatever I was saying that was being said was factual. But because again, people will don't want you to come into this realization of knowing who you are and your self-worth and understanding that, hey, this is not something I'm deserving of. Because once you are delusional to those things, you are now the enemy having his way with you because you don't know left from right. You don't know up from down. You don't know right from wrong. So, he was, I was being taught that, oh, your mouth is a problem, blah, 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 blah. Whole time I'm like, I just don't play about me, and it arrived and it heightened as I continue to get older. Fighting, standing on business, whatever you want to call it, that's what I was on, especially when I became a mother at 16, because I was now responsible for somebody. And I just didn't play them type of games. I've always been mature. People can tell you that I've always been a mature person, even as like young days, because it ain't had nothing to do with me. And it didn't make sense at the time. But like I said, things start correlating once you get older and once God starts showing you and revealing to you what it is he doing with you. So it all makes sense. My level of maturity was God's protection, right? Because yes, I was wild. And when I say wild, meaning like, I wasn't wild to the point where I couldn't be controlled. You know what I mean? I wasn't this like blatant disrespectful child or nothing like that. But what I'm saying is, I got pregnant at 16. But before that, I was always in the books, always on my stuff. Graduated honors from high school, graduated a semester early, and this with a kid at 16. Went to college, had my CNA license as soon as I graduated high school, like all this type stuff. Like All it is, that was God's protection, because the same thing God want to use, the enemy want to use too, right? The enemy could have took that pivot point in my life where I had a baby at 16 and I could have made a detour. Hence, that's what happened to my mother. My mother started having her children at a young age, and then somewhere, somehow she got lost and still lost to this day. And so that was a form of God's protection. That level of maturity, me being level-headed and me making smart decisions, even though I made mistakes. You can make mistakes and still be grounded and be level-headed and be reprogrammed, okay? So I've always had this level of maturity that has followed me all the way up to now. But so, you know, sorry, y'all. So it goes back to, you know, the thing God wanted to use, the enemy wanted to use. So my thing was, you know, with my mouth or whatever, you know, I was advocating for me, you know, even when I was a young adult, you know, when I had my kid, my Aiden, who, can y'all believe he about to be 15? Everybody who's rocking with me that went to high school with me that be listening to my podcast, I know y'all always be like, oh my God, we remember when you had him. I had him when I was in the 11th grade. And I can't believe he about to be 15. But anyway, when I had Aiden, I didn't play no games. Like, I ain't played no games before that. But when I had Aiden, oh, it was whatever you want, I'm on too. Like, and it won't, I was reckless. It was just, I just didn't act. It just was a level of, a standard I had. And if you couldn't meet that standard, and it's not just dating, it's talking about anything. I just want about to be involved in no mess because I had somebody that I had to see about. And I had something to do with my life. At the time, I might didn't really know what it was. I just knew I wanted to be a nurse, and I was navigating my way to get there or whatever. So all in all, I say all of that to say my mouth has been my thing. When I say something, that's what I mean. When I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be today, but it's going to happen. And my friends who I love down, Terry tell me that all the time. Terry be like, you're the only friend I know who really, she going to do whatever she say. I ain't never seen nobody say they going to do this and they going to do that and actually do it. Everything Samantha say, she going to do it. My cousin was telling me the other week, she was like, man, I ain't never in my life seen nobody get up once they get a plan implemented the way you implement it. She was telling me, she was like, the worst thing the enemy can ever do is let you get a plan. Because the moment you get a plan, oh, you gonna go through with it. You might not do it tomorrow, but you gonna go through with it. You know, and I love that for me, because here again, I had all these odds already up against me, you know, my mouth, my mother not really being around and all this type of stuff, to the point where, you know, I thought this was my life. These was my cars. I was going to just have to deal with it. I ain't had no choice. I didn't really come from much. You know, my mother on drugs. You know, my father wasn't really in the picture like that because of their own personal thing they had going on. And so, you know, it was just a lot. And I just felt like, well, dang, I'm already at a disadvantage. You know what I mean? And so then I had a baby at 16. So, you know, I'm having to work twice as hard now, for real. His daddy wasn't in the picture, you know, after a little bit of a while. And so it was just a lot, right? But I'm so thankful because the same practices God instilled in me early on, doing what I say and standing on business, all that type of stuff, it was something that he desired for me to use, because look how now I need that in my life. If I would have never been equipped in my younger days to stand on business and to defend who I am, and if you don't like it, you can get on type stuff like that, I would never have the courage to be fighting the Goliaths in my life right now. Like, David was equipped to fight Goliath because he was outside fighting tigers and bears and stuff. He was out there handling his business out there, standing on business and doing what he needed to do. So that's why when he saw Goliath and Goliath was doing all that talking, he was like, hold on, who you talking to? You know, like, nah, if I could beat a lion and a tiger and all this type of stuff and bears, you know, Jasmine Sullivan, lions, tigers, and bears, I can use, with a slingshot, I can use a slingshot and take this one out. And that's exactly what he did. But David was equipped in his younger days for something he didn't even know he was going to need to use in his later days. And so here I am in this season of my life where I'm having to refrain from something that the enemy wants to use because I know God want to use it. And in James, it talks about how the same mouth you use will bless people, but you also curse people with the same thing. That's why God had told me earlier this year after I did a Daniel's fast, we was done cussing. Because at some point you have to get rid of that. Because yes, I understand, and I let you cuss for a little bit because I hadn't gotten to that point with you yet. But this journey is a process. Hence why you don't get rid of things overnight. It's a journey. It is a process. God loves you through it, and he weans you through it too. So the things you are dependent upon, he starts to wean you off of to show you that, hey, you really don't need to do that like you think you do, or you really don't need that the way you think you do. So cussing was my thing, because if God wants to use my mouth and it's being, and he needs it to be purified, and it needs to be of God, the things that's coming out of my mouth, I have to get rid of the cussing, because that is of the enemy. And you can't say one thing and do another, because again, that's a part of being lukewarm. So the goodness of it is if I would have stayed in that place where God has said, we getting rid of cussing, if I would have stayed there and been like, nah, I ain't doing that, I'm now lukewarm. But because it was a process for me, and it's a process for us, it was brought to my attention that God is saying, hey, right now, at this point on your walk with Christ, we're rid of the cussing. Let's get rid of it. It's time. So I was like, okay, God, cool. I'm ready. And because I did that, I am now I'm on my way. When you stay in things, that's when you're lukewarm. Because people be thinking you lukewarm when, as soon as I got saved 3 years ago, I got saved. My nephew needed a DD. We went to the club the next weekend. I called my auntie. I was like, I'm at praise and worship. She was like, where is that at? I said, the club. We're here bringing people to Christ. But again, that was a thing. That night I left the club, God was like, we ain't never going back to the club again. I hope you had a good time, because that was the last time. I ain't been back to the club since. That was it. So, but it could have been looking like, oh, she lukewarm. She just got saved and now she back at the club. Baby, you got the them same struggles you went to bed with last night, I guarantee you woke up with this morning. If you ain't been actively working on it with God and allowing him to wean you and to go through the process with you, helping you get rid of those things, I'm pretty sure this morning when you woke up, you still got it too. So it's not lukewarm when that's what you know. It becomes lukewarm when it's brought to your attention and God is saying, hey, I need you to be rid of that thing, and you continue to stay in it. That's the difference in being of the world and in the world, right? You got to expect God to take you back to those places where you once was at, because how will people who just like you be transformed if they don't see somebody that looks like them that was doing the same stuff they was doing, who mean well, come back and show them the transformation that's occurring in their life that helps them believe that, hey, if it happened for her, it can happen for me. So expect God to use you in the places where you was once dibbling and dabbling. But when you realize you're on an assignment, then you say, God, I'm not here to consume these things. I'm just here to do your work. So that's when, you know, you on your journey and on your process. Lukewarm is staying in things that God told you you can't do. That's you saying, I know God said I can't be doing that, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's lukewarm. So I say all that to say, the cussing thing. God read me of the cussing, because in James it was talking about how you be using your same mouth to bless people and then curse people. So everything that from childhood up until now really makes sense, because I'm in this season of my life where the thing that God wants to use, the enemy wants to use too. Because here I am in this marriage, and if I'm gonna be real, it's the craziest thing, because, and I love my friends so much, and I say this all the time, and I know I say it all the time, and I love my friends so much, because you need some people in your life who pursue Christ actively and know what it takes to do the work that God has called them to do, because they have a level of understanding and grace for you when it's time for you to do what God has called you to do. And they will be able to not give you good advice, but biblical advice. So, and like I always tell y'all, just because it's good advice don't mean it's God advice. And just because you feel it's something somebody should be doing does not mean that is what God is doing for them in this season. So I'm happy that I have friends who have kept me grounded in this area, in this season of my life, because it's been hard, because I have had to refrain from acting on my emotions, and I have had to refrain from speaking the way I want to speak, because God wants to see how well he can trust me with my gift. My voice is my gift. This takes my voice. This would not be a thing if I didn't speak. So God is having me in a season to where people are literally like, it's nudging you. It's literally like God in the Bible where, I want to say it was Paul. Paul was like, take this thorn out my side. And God was like, my grace is sufficient. I'm like, God, bro, I don't know how much more I can do this, because you hear what my husband's saying? You better get him before I do. And God like, my grace sufficient, my grace sufficient. And I'm like, God, grace running out, bro. Like, I can't keep doing this. And I can't keep doing this because I know me. I know me. I'm not saying I can't do this because I don't want to do it. I'm saying I can't do this because, God, I'm trying, okay? But I just don't know how much more I can keep doing. Because at some point, who gonna defend me? You know, and so I've been in this season where I've had to refrain from saying things that I want to say sometimes. And then there's sometimes, there's a lot of times, and I want to say this because Lord is a praise report and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that I have endured and learned what God has taught me to learn and endure in this season of my life. Because sometimes, believe it or not, even when my husband says the wildest things out of his mouth, I don't even have the desire to act fleshly to say something back to him. And I love that so much for me, because if you know me, like some of my friends for real be telling me, Samantha, I'm so proud of you, bro, because he don't know the old you for real. He don't know you. My friends used to tell me all the time, some of my friends, we just joke a lot, you know, type stuff like that. Like we on that type time. Like I don't be just hurting people feelings. Like now I have in my lifetime, even when I was saved, I'm not going to hold you. Them kids, daddy. Yeah. I gave it up if any which way I could. But my friends tell me all the time, they'd be like, Samantha, you don't know the old you, because I'm so proud of you, because the old you would have never. My friends used to be like, bro, you ain't have to say that. And sometimes I'm not even going to hold you for real. Like, I used to say certain things, and I used to tell myself, dang, Samantha, you didn't have to say that. I used to be shocked at some of the stuff I said myself. Because, again, when the enemy use you, he'll take you so far. And it was a quote a pastor said one time. I think he said, sin will take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. The enemy, once he use you, he don't have no limit. He wants you to go as far as possible, because you, at the end of the day, you got to pay for that. The enemy not, that's not the enemy bill, that's your bill. And so, you know, I was like, I used to say some wild stuff, and so my friends be like, dang, Samantha, I'm proud of you, because, like, sometimes you used to have people questioning their existence for real, because your mouth would just say whatever it wanted to say, you know? And so I've been proud of myself, because not only do I see my growth, my friends see my growth. And that is just so refreshing and so, sorry, y'all, I'm running some water. But it's so refreshing and just so revitalizing, because you need them small wins to remind you, like, hey girl, you're making some progress. Hey girl, keep going, you know, keep swimming, type stuff like that. So I've been excited about that. And so when I tell my friends, you know, because like I tell y'all, my friends know what I'm going through in my marriage, because I'm just not suffering in silence, and nor am I pretending to be living a life that I know I'm not living. I'm just not doing that, because God can't heal what you don't reveal. And I'm not fitting to be sitting here broken and pretending to be healed. And I'm not fitting to be sitting here making it seem like I'm living a lavish life when I'm not. So my friends know what I'm going through, and I love that for me. And so they just be saying like some of them still working on they ain't at that point and they walk just yet where, you know, they can refrain from certain things. And some of them just be like, you need to say this, you need to say that. And I'm like, no, you know, no. And I'm so thankful because my friends mean well, right? So some of your friends mean well. That goes back to the good advice being God advice. Some of your friends mean well, but you have to be able to discern that what people are telling you, whether or not you should apply it to your circumstances or not. Because again, certain things gonna cost you a lot more than you wanna pay. And I've realized in the season of my life that God wanted to see if I was really willing to refrain from what I wanted to say and allowing God to use my voice his way, or did I want to advocate for me? Because God was telling me, you don't have to advocate for you. You be sick, because I realized my mouth would be the way it is. Like, for instance, I used to have a really bad habit of cutting my husband off. But not just him is where I was getting at. Some of my friends too, right? But I realized too, being married, why I did that. I realized I cut him off and other people off while they were talking, because they would be saying things and it would be a misunderstanding. And so I just didn't want to wait for them to finish saying what they needed to say, because the things that they were saying was already a misunderstanding. So let's say, for instance, I might say, you know, yesterday I didn't like the way you did that, or whatever, but it's cool. You know, like it's cool. They might be like, well, I didn't know it made you mad, blah, blah, blah. So I might cut them off and I'd be like, whoa, I didn't. And then they're like, dang, what can I finish? But I cut them off because you're saying I'm mad. I never said I was mad. So I used to have this really strong thing of being misunderstood. I hated being misunderstood because I've been misunderstood my entire life. So, and I used to be so misunderstood to the point where I didn't say anything. So people were forming these synopses and doing all this, telling me I was this and telling me I was that, when in reality, that's not what it was. It was just, that was your perception. And because I didn't defend it, it allowed them people to believe that that was the truth. So I've had this very strong hold of feeling like I need to be misunderstood. So a part of that came with me interrupting people when they was talking, because they might be saying something that was misconstrued. And so I'm trying to correct them. Whole time they like, just wait till I'm done. And I'm like, no, I need to tell you now, because if I don't tell you now, I'm going to forget. And then not just that, but the rest of your stuff is just going to be, you know, it's not going to be correct, because you already misunderstanding me now. So blah, 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 right? So I used to have a bad habit of cutting people off. So I began to work on that because it was affecting me and my husband's relationship. So, you know, even some points, I'm not saying I'm perfect, right? There is some points in our marriage later on where I would say, hey, I'm not trying to cut you off, or whatever, if it's okay if I, you know, chime in right quick, because I'm not trying to cut you off. And I was doing that because, again, I was being misunderstood. God had to ground me and remind me, hey, I don't need you to advocate for me. Let me do what I'm doing. I don't need you to do that, because now you're sitting here getting in my way, doing things that I don't need you to do. I don't need you to help me be God. If I did, you wouldn't need me. I would need you. So if you let me do what I need to do, then you don't have to do any defending or any advocating. So I'm in a season where I've been having to refrain from advocating for myself, trusting and believing that God knows my intentions and God knows my heart. Now, hear me out when I say advocating. Let me not say advocating. Let's go back. God is had me in a season where I didn't need to defend myself. I can advocate for me, but once it started getting to the point where I felt like I had to defend myself, you got it. Because God needed me to be able to be okay being misunderstood by people who was content misunderstanding me. Because, and I look at it so, and I'm that's why I'm so thankful for my friends, because my friends understand me. And they understand me because they understand what it takes for this walk to be fulfilled in their own lives. So they understand me when it comes to my walk with God. That don't necessarily mean people agree with you. It just means I understand. I understand the weight that you're toting, because I too am toting the same cross every single day. I understand. I get it. So I had to be okay being misunderstood in this area of my life, my marriage. But God relieved me a little bit because my friends understand me. And these, not some of these people that I'm talking about that's my friends, some of us just became like this year. God put me in community with some amazing people. Shout out to Kayla. That's my dog. To where he allowed us to form a community because he knew everybody needed each other. So I'm in this part where my husband misunderstand me, but I got some friends who understand me because they understand what it takes. But also, God allows me to advocate for myself, but the moment I start having to defend myself, you got to give it up, right? Because God is saying, I don't need you to defend me. I don't need you to defend who you are. If you know who you are in me, it's okay that other people don't, because you got to be okay with people misunderstanding you. Because if people are not on the same journey as you, meaning Christ, because when you understand, the journey would never be the same. If that's the case, God would have had two Samanthas that look just like me, with the same purpose, with the same name, with the same everything. The journey is different, but the foundation is the same. So you're going to have to be okay being misunderstood by people when you realize everybody's foundation ain't Christ for real. Because people be wanting salvation, but don't want to be a disciple for real. You be wanting to be saved, but you don't want to do what it takes to be walking with God every single day carrying your cross. You don't. I know, I used to be one of them type of people. I know. Hence why you see people staying in things that God telling them to come up out of. Hence why you see people never being convicted by the things God is telling you, hey, I'm trying to correct you in this area of your life because I need you to get it together so that you could prosper. The journey is always different. That's the beauty of Christ, being able to see the journey done 50,000 million ways. But the baseline has to be Christ. And so I had to be okay with understanding that just because people say they with God don't mean they with God. Judas was with God every day, but he won't with God when he betrayed him. He was with him every single day, but when it was time to be with God, with Jesus, he won't with him. He gave him up for some money. He was with him every single day. People be with God, but don't be with God. And that's why I say in the Bible, when people get to the gates, he's going to say, depart from me because I don't even know you. People say they be with God. You got to be, what your fruit look like? The Bible say measure people by their fruit. What's your fruit looking like? So I have been having to let God defend me because I don't have to defend who I am, because I know who I am in God. And because God knows my heart, even if people feel like my motive is this or my motive is that, that does not mean that that is true. That's why it literally say, take all thoughts captive and bring it to God and make sure it aligns with his will. Just because it's your thought and your opinion, it does not make it biblical. It doesn't matter. They don't mean nothing. So it's been hard for me because my whole entire life has been me being misunderstood. So the enemy be like, oh, you being misunderstood again. You need to advocate for you. You need to defend you because they said this. He said that. Blah, 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 blah. And the enemy has really, really did his big one in this season because he's using the man that I love, right? And it's so hard. It's so hard because if I'm being real, I'm in this season of my life where I got love for him, don't get me wrong, but I'm just not there anymore. And I'm not there anymore because so many traumatic things have happened to put me where I am right now. And I got love for him, don't get me wrong. Don't wish ill on him or nothing like that. Got respect for him or whatever. But I just don't feel the same way that I used to feel, right? Because that's just like somebody using and abusing you or mishandling you, and you expect me to still show up the same way I would have before you were starting to do that. That's normal response to people. You don't do that. So if you don't do that in with your friends, you know, friends who talk about you behind your back, stuff like that, you don't go and support them and all that and all that, blah, 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 and act like it never happened, right? Things happen and your feelings change. And so you move different. Same way with me. I am no longer there, but I do got respect for him. So God, the enemy is using the man that I love to say things to me that's not true. And because I'm in this season where God is like, watch your mouth, watch your mouth. Remember your struggle. And that's why a lot of people fall victim to what the enemy is doing. You don't know the tactics. You don't know how to pinpoint the triggers. You don't even know how to respond because you have not allowed yourself to come to terms with your traumas and your triggers. You have got to get to this point where you say, this is a struggle point for me, hence accountability. And it's not accountability to say something is wrong with you. It's accountability because if you play unaware to the things that you struggle with, expect the enemy to use you there. Expect the enemy to try to navigate his tools there. Expect the enemy to target you in that area more than any other area in your life. If you have a strong suit in one thing, why do you think the enemy would use you somewhere you strong at? No, he gonna go after your weaknesses. And if God is after your weaknesses, that's why I say your strength is made perfect in my weaknesses. If God is after your weaknesses, why don't you think the devil is too? Duh, you weak because you lean on God for him to give you strength in those areas where you cannot operate without God. You're weak, and the enemy sees that as an opportunity to get you to compromise, to get you to act in your flesh. Same thing. Whatever God is after, the enemy is after as well. And so my husband is being used by the enemy, and I'm having to be in this season where God is like, watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Don't say, I know you heard him say that. Don't say anything. Don't say nothing. And when I tell you, I love my husband Adele, don't get me wrong. And I love him as a person, don't get me wrong. I ain't never in my life heard some of the wildest things that my husband has said to me. Hence, he ain't never called me out my name, but I think a lot of people too, let's come back to that too, that deal breakers for you might not be a deal breaker for me. There are certain things that you are equipped to carry that I am not equipped to carry. There are certain things that God is going to put a start to in your life, and he's going to put a stop to in my life. There's just certain things that might fly for you that might not fly for me. Hence, give you an example. When I was smoking weed, I used to be like, well, God, they smoke weed, and they said they're a Christian. He was like, I let you smoke weed. Let you smoke weed for a good minute too. But I'm telling you can't smoke weed no more because you idolize weed, and you looking for weed to feel things that I'm capable of feeling, but your dependency is on weed, so that's your idol now. And you're saying weed can do things that I can't do. And so if that's the case, then you need weed to figure everything out for you, because you're not gonna have weed figure this part out for you and then me figure this part out for you. You're gonna have to pick one. What you gonna do? So I let go of weed and I follow God. So that is the example of, dang, where was I getting? I knew I was gonna lose my train of thought. Hold on, let me try to think. Crap, I hate when that happened. That's why I didn't want to get an example, because I was like, dang, I can't remember. But anyway, crap, I hate that. Not want to stop this video. I can't remember where I was getting at. God, give it back to me. Hold on, y'all. This like real timing, right? Like this, it's like we on FaceTime. So you gotta give me a minute. Anyway. Crap. Man, I can't remember. But anyway, go back to what I was saying about God, my husband saying some of the wildest things that I've never heard before in my life, right? And it's been a lot because, thank you, Holy Spirit. I got it. Some people be thinking it's a deal breaker when certain stuff, shout out to God. People be thinking it's a deal breaker. What's a deal breaker for you might not be a deal breaker for them, blah, 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 right? So that was my example about weed. God was letting other people who was Christians smoke weed, but he told me I had to stop. And he told me I had to stop because he specifically said, you don't know what I'm doing with her, and that don't got nothing to do with you. Focus on what I told you to do. And if I told you to stop smoking weed, then stop smoking weed. So just because certain things is suitable for somebody else, that doesn't mean it's suitable for you. So my husband saying these wild things, I've never heard some of the things that my husband has said before. And just because he's never called me out of my name does not mean it is not a deal breaker for me. Just because he didn't put his hands on me or nothing like that, that doesn't mean it's not, the things that he does do is not a deal breaker for me. And so some of the things my husband has said has been the wildest things that I've ever heard before in my life. And I've had to understand, this is why you got to understand too. We do not fight against the flesh. We fight against the spirit and the principalities and the evils and the dark forces and all that. It's no gray area. It's either God or the enemy. It's no in between. It's either God or the enemy. And I know we don't like to say that because if it's not God, it obviously is the enemy. But when you realize anybody can be used, even myself, that's why the Bible talks about putting on your full armor of God every single day. Because if you're missing a helmet, you're missing a shield, that is an access for the enemy to be able to get in to use you. When you act on your flesh, that is the enemy using you. Hence why God says, take all thoughts captive and make sure it aligns with the will of God. Just because you think you should, don't mean you should, right? So, you know, my husband saying all these wild things has had me in this place where I just be mind blown because God keeps telling me to watch your mouth. And it's a lot because the things that my husband says is not true. And I say that because the enemy, again, we don't fight against the flesh and the flesh, we fight against the spirit. The enemy has convinced him, because if the enemy can snatch your perception, he'll snatch your season. And I say that because if you can be in a season right now, but if you don't have the perspective that God desires for you to have to navigate through the season, you'll start wondering. Hence, look at the Israelites. God told them, I'm going to give you a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. All they did was nag, complain. We should have stayed in Israel. We should have stayed in Egypt. We had all this. At least we was fed. Yeah, we were slaves, but at least we didn't have to be thirsty. At least we didn't have to do this. At least we didn't have to do that. Whole time, if they would have just conformed to what God was telling them, the trip would have took 11 days and not 40 years. But because their perception was so wrapped up in themselves, they missed the mark and they missed the promised land and they misnavigated through a season that could have been easier if they would have just conformed to what God said. So if the enemy can snatch your perception, he'll snatch your season. That's why you have to be in constant fasting and praying. Fast and separate the real from the fake. There's just a level that you will not reach on this walk with Christ if you do not fast. And fasting has to be consistently. It can't be, my church do it in January, and then we never fast ever again. It cannot be that. It has to be routine. Hence why fasting is the blueprint. It's solitude where you and God are in solitary, just you and him. Y'all are in this, y'all in tune, on the same page. It's literally God revealing to you the blueprint of what's going on. You literally get the blueprint to rob a bank and you get to walk out with all the cash. You get to download all that God is doing in this season, and he tells you and he allows you to see things that you wouldn't see if you was not fasting, for you to apply to help you navigate through this season, so that the things the enemy wants you to fumble, you really walk out with at the end. So if the enemy can snatch your perception, he'll snatch your season. So the enemy has snatched my husband's perception and allow his frustrations to crowd his vision and to crowd what God was really doing. And so now he snatched his season. And so now he's using him. And so he says things to me that's not true. And because I know who I am in Christ, and I'm not gonna lie, it do hurt my feelings. There's been a lot of times this season where I cried a lot, journaled more than I could even imagine. Asked God, hey God, I know you heard what he just said. But every single time God brought me back to who God says I am, and to watch your mouth. Be careful, because if you can be used by the enemy, I need you to download that this is what is happening. If Job's wife was used, why do you expect to believe that nobody close proximity or my husband wouldn't be used? You know what I mean? So, but for the longest, I didn't really understand. Sorry, y'all. For the longest, I didn't really understand why God allowed my husband to be used. But when you realize and you go back to Job's story, the enemy literally was walking around looking for somebody to mess with. And God was like, oh, have you considered my faithful servant Job? I bet you, he was like, oh yeah, I know, you know, I did. But I did, but you got a hedge of protection around him, so I couldn't get to him. So if you remove that hedge of protection, I bet you I can get him. And God was like, okay, I'll remove it, but you can't kill him. That's the only thing you can't do. You can't kill him. But you can do anything else. Job's kids got killed. Job's animals got his money, his animals, his livelihood. He got sores. And all his friends was like, dang, what you do? What you do? You had to do something. You had to do something. And he was like, nah, I ain't do nothing. And then his wife was like, you still holding on to your integrity with God? You still holding on to your faith? All you should do is curse God and die. But if you understand Job's situation, if Job would have never went through what Job went through, nobody else would have got the message. His wife would have never got it, and neither would his friends. If I would not be going through what I'm going through in my marriage, I keep telling you, you wouldn't have got this, because these people out here who've been talking about Christ for years ain't talking about this part. They're not getting up here talking about their marriage toe up. They're not getting up here talking about their husband talking to them out the side of his neck. They're not getting up here talking about, oh, I want to leave, but God ain't called me to a place to where I can do so just yet. Ain't nobody getting up here talking about stuff like that. So I'm having to go through this. Because it's deeper than you, and this walk with Christ ain't got nothing to do with you. It be deeper than you. But we be so focused on ourselves that we miss what God is doing. And so, if I would have never went through this stuff here, my friends would have never seen Christ this way. Hence why God is so unique, and God does different things through different people. This has been a heavy assignment to carry. This is a part of my ministry. I have told my husband since day one, I don't know what God gonna do in our marriage, but I know God gonna use it. I know God gonna use it. I just felt it so heavily on me when I met him. I didn't know what it was. You just think when you want to be used, you think it's for the glitz and the glam. You be like, oh God, I want to use me. But then he starts signing you up for wars that you don't even want to fight in. You say, whoa, buddy, I wanted to be used, but I ain't want to be used this way. I told him from day one, I don't know what God doing in our marriage, but I know he's going to use it. This is what he's using it for. If I wouldn't be going through this, my friends, you would have never seen Christ operate this way, because ain't nobody getting up here doing what God has called me to do. And because God has called me to do this, he's graced me for it. Hence why you got to stay in your lane and keep your mouth off of stuff. Hence, watch your mouth. This is how this go. Watch your mouth when you put in your mouth on things that do not pertain to you, because you don't know what people have been called to, and you don't know what they assigned to. And it say in the Bible, touch not thy anointed and do my prophet no harm. Keep your mouth closed. Watch your mouth. And that's why I'm so sensitive to certain things that I say. Where I used to be like this, and now I'm like, hold on. I take a minute and think before I speak, because I'm not fitting to be putting my mouth on something that don't got nothing to do with me, because I don't know what they carrying and I don't know what type of anointing that they have. And I'm not about to be paying for things that I don't want to pay for because I vocalized an opinion about something that didn't have nothing to do with me when I could have just simply kept my mouth closed. There's a lady in the Bible who was, if I'm not mistaken, she was talking about Moses. And she was talking about Moses to somebody else, and instantly leprosy fell on her because she had her mouth on something that did not pertain to her. She had her mouth on somebody that she saw had a deficiency with his stuttering and stuff, yet had an anointing and a calling on his life that caused something to fall on her that she didn't even know was going to happen to her the moment she started putting her mouth on something that didn't even have nothing to do with her. You got to be careful the things you talk about, the things you say, because hell will be going on in your life because you have vocalized your opinion and said things that you should have just never said. Everybody got an opinion. Everybody got a thought, but that don't mean you should be out here saying nothing. So I'm thankful because my mouth has been refined. And I say that because it goes back to, again, if I would have never been going through this, my friends would have never known this side of me. My friends be like, dang, I cannot believe you don't cuss no more. My friends always say this to them. My friends say a lot of stuff, but it's so funny because they be like, they always sound funny. Everybody be like, you funny. They be like, you mad funny, yo, you mad funny. When I cussed, I was hilarious. Because if you know me, and if you cuss yourself, cussing just put a little seasoning on it, if we gonna be real. It just put a little razzle-dazzle on it. It make it sound, it hit a little harder, and it sound a little better. So when I was cussing, I was already funny. So when I cussed, it just made it stupid funny, right? So now that I don't cuss no more, my friends be like, man, you still so funny, but it's crazy that you don't cuss no more because it used to be like hilarious. But they always say, this is how you know when you got some people on your team that should be rocking with you too. Because, oh God, Holy Spirit moving, okay. He giving me all these downloads. Hence, this was all the things that I mentioned in the previous podcast. But I was like, God, I don't even know if I'm gonna be able to remember everything. But I wanted to talk about everything because it was some valid points that I was hitting on. But they say, this is why you gotta have some friends in your circle who respect what you're doing in Christ. Because they said, we love that you used to cuss because it made you hilarious. But we respect what God doing in your life so much that we would never ask you to do something other than what God has called you to do. So although you were hilarious when you cussed, if God has told you not to cuss, we like you better when you don't cuss because we don't want you to be anybody else than other than who God has called you to be. That's why you need some people on your team who's not enabling you for being who you are and being what you want to be, but pushing you to pursue who God has called you to be. We be sitting here in close communication and in close proximity with people who don't have no good will being for us. They see you for who you are and not for who God called you to be. And so they're enabling you to stay in things they really should help you be delivered from. You got to be watching who, that's why the Bible say iron sharpens iron. And good and bad character corrupts good character. Don't be sitting here thinking you won't be a fool if you surrounded by fools. Yes, you will. You will be consumed by whatever it is your friends is toting. Birds of a feather flock together is a true thing. Yes, it is. So I'm happy for that because, you know, again, it goes back to if I would have never been going through this stuff, my friends would have never seen Dane, because they just like, Dane Samantha used to cuss all the time. Hence, I ain't gonna say I was like a sailor cuss or anything like, but like I just said, I, you know, seasoned up a little bit. So if I would have never been able to go through this process with my husband, I would have never, I'm gonna keep it a bend. I would have never stopped cussing because I just, for the longest, I was like, God, I don't see nothing wrong with it. I mean, these are man-made words. Nobody, you didn't say these are cuss words. Somebody just made it up and said those are cuss words. All you said in the Bible was to not, you know, like swear and stuff like that. Like, and you know, that's, I'm not doing that. But again, it goes back to that was a thing God told me I had to stop doing. And just because it's okay for somebody else, don't mean it's okay for me. So if I would have never been going through this with my husband, my friends would have never been able to see the transformation that is occurring in my life. And because the goal is to always pursue Christ so that you could be a resemblance of Christ. Because if people ran into you today, would you be somebody that they could say, oh, I see the God in you? Would they want to pursue Christ based off of your fruit and how you presented Christ to them? And so it's been amazing to see my friends allow me to, it's been amazing to hear the feedback that my friends have given me as they've seen me on this walk with Christ. So again, what I'm going through with my husband is deeper than just me. It's the transformation has to occur for people who are in close proximity and people who are supporting my podcast or whatever the case may be to see the transformation that's going to occur. And so watching my mouth in this season has been amazing because there's been times where I could have cussed. And I'm so thankful because when you realize life and death lie in the power of the tongue, you be careful with your words a lot more because once it's said, you can't take it back. And imagine saying something out of hurt or anger or frustration when you could have said nothing. The Bible says some of you should cut your hands off. Some of you should cut your hand off. And he wasn't speaking literally like, go cut your hand off. What he's saying is some of you should cut your hand off because if you don't cut your hand off, if you don't stop doing that thing, you're going to deteriorate and it's going to ruin you. So some of y'all should be without a hand and let that go so that you don't miss out on anything else that God is trying to give you. So I'm having to navigate through this season where all this stuff is being said to me and all this stuff is being done to me, but I have had to refrain from allowing the enemy to use me and to take me places God has not desired for me to go. And because I'm committed to being who God has called me to be, it has been a struggle, but it has been rewarding because I could have said a lot of things in a lot of moments, but because I have self-control, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit, okay? If you got no self-control, you got to ask God to put you through some tests that's going to help you get that because self-control is literally the reason why the enemy is at some of y'all necks. Because you move off of how you feel. You move off of what you think you should do. You move off of what people tell you to do. You move off of whatever the day presents. Blah, 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 blah. Whole time you don't got no self-control. None. So God has enheightened my self-control in this season because I have allowed myself to do what God has called me to do and to be put in this test to where I've had to take a minute and step back because I'm happy, and I'm happy that I've done that because even when my husband has said the wildest things to me, I've taken steps back and said nothing because sometimes the best thing to say is nothing. Because you don't, once it's said, sometimes we speak out of emotions and we want to apologize as soon as it's over. That's not my husband's story. Apologize, lack of accountability and lack of apologizing. That's a whole nother episode. So that's not his struggle. But I'm saying in general, sometimes, you know, like when people be getting drunk, they be like, oh, I was just drunk. I didn't really mean to say that. Yes, you did. You just didn't think it was going to come out that way and you didn't expect it to come out at that time. But you meant what you said. Yes, you did. You just didn't want me to hear it. And you just didn't, you was just hoping that it didn't hit the way you really intended for it to hit because now you have to own up to what you said. So because I have self-control, I have allowed myself to refrain from saying certain things. And I've said that and I've done that because I don't be wanting to pay for things that I don't got to pay for. I don't want to say things off of emotions and out of my feelings and out of rage and out of, oh, I need to say something in urgency or whatever the case may be, that I say something that I don't mean and I spend the rest of my life trying to prove to the person that I love that I didn't mean what I said. I just said it at the time that I was angry or whatever the case may be. So because I have self-control, I have allowed myself to say nothing. And I ain't gonna hold you. There's been a lot of times where I say, God, I'm getting tired of this because he keeps saying these things to me that's not true. But I'm not, how many more times you gonna keep letting it slide? Because the more I let this slide, it looks like he think he getting away with it. Hence why he keeps doing it. Because he feels as if it's okay for him to do so. So God, if you don't handle it, I don't know how much more I'm going to be able to do this because he's not going to keep talking to me like he's stupid. And it goes back to God saying, you got to be okay with people having the narrative. You got to be okay with people thinking they know stuff. But if you are in tune with me and this is what I'm telling you to do, what you going to do? You're going to either fold or you're going to stand. And I love it so much because God was giving me what I needed when I needed it, even when it hurt my feelings. And I'm so thankful now. It's been hard. It's been a long season. I'm so thankful now because I stand where I am today and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad that I didn't fold and that I didn't compromise and that I didn't allow the enemy to make me feel like, oh, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. Because it's not about right or wrong. It's not about that. It's simply the enemy wanting me to conform to something God does not want me to conform to. And a lot of people miss out on what God is doing in their life because they come against opposition and the opposition is so heavy that they compromise. When in reality, that was your Goliath. And if you would have stood there with your slingshot, with the armor on that suited you and not was suited, because you know people be like, if that was me, I'd have did this and I'd have did that. You don't know. You're not even in my situation. You don't know what you would have did. And you don't know because you don't have the calling that I have on my life. You don't have it. You don't know what it's like to tote this weight. So again, we all got opinions. That don't mean it matter. But if you would have stood in those areas and faced your Goliath, you would overcome that, right? So, you know, it's, I'm thankful here today that I did it because the enemy wanted me to compromise. He wanted me to miss out. And if I would have compromised, and he was using my husband. So it got to a point where it was, God, you got to take the marriage, bro, because it ain't working. And it ain't working because I don't want it to work. I'm being everything you need me to be, even though I ain't being everything you want me to be. I'm being everything you need me to be because I'm being who you call me to be in this season of my life. It's just not compatible to what he wants because the enemy has snatched his perception. And so he has misdefined the season that we in. And God, I don't know how much more I can deal with this. So you got to take the mirrors, bro, because if not, I'm trying my hardest to refrain from acting fleshly. Because we both can't be two circuses in a clown. And we both can't be two clowns in a circus. And that's another thing, too. When you realize the tactics that the enemy using, it helps you stay grounded more. Because the enemy want to use the same thing God want to use. He wants me to sit here and have something to say. He want me to have something to say. Because the moment you start talking, this is where I was getting back a while ago when I said I ain't want to lose my train of thought. We be thinking because we said something and we apologized or we said something and we moved on that we're no longer held accountable for that. That is not biblical. There was a time in the Bible where Moses was with God. And I want to say it was down there when they was doing the Ten Commandments. When he was up there getting the Ten Commandments engraved, he came down. Them stubborn folks down there, them Israelites, had carved golden calves and was sitting here idolizing and worshiping a golden calf. And Moses got so mad, he broke the tablets, he broke the commandments. And he was like, what is wrong with y'all? And God was like, oh, I'm finna kill them. I done told them I'm not finna keep playing with them. I'm finna kill them. And Moses was like, please, God, please. Literally begging God. And God was like, Moses, I ain't trying to hear that. I know, I hear what you're saying, but no, they finna die. They finna die because I'm not gonna keep playing these games with them. Moses was like, please, God, please, 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 please. And he was like, all right, I'm gonna let them live, but they gonna pay for it. I'm gonna let that slide. It might look like I'm gonna let it slide, but they gonna pay for it. When you speak out of urgency, out of emotions, whenever you do whatever you do, whether it's a act, whether you're talking, whether you're whatever, you are now held accountable for that thing. It does not matter if we've moved on. It does not matter if you were forgiving. That is something you will still be held accountable for. That's why when you're following God, you need to be steadfast. You need to have love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. Because when you operate under the fruits of the Spirit, you allow yourself to be consumed the way you want to be punished. And if you don't want to be punished, then you won't be doing things that allow that the punishment to be something you don't want to be punished by. You know what I mean? Like the punishment won't be as harsh because you've allowed yourself to act accordingly. But when you do what you want to do, that's still your punishment. We could have moved on, but that is still your portion. You still got to own up to that. So when you realize that you don't want to be sitting here paying for things that you don't got to pay for, you start understanding, okay, I'm on to your BS now. And I'm on to the devil's tactics because I get what you're doing. You want me to have something to say because if I just said the things you say you held accountable for, my husband going to be held accountable for the things that he's saying to me. So if I respond to him out of trying to defend myself, I am now going to be held responsible the same way my husband is held responsible because God is not going to punish one, I don't got a charger, and not punish the other the same way. Punishment is straight across the board. How you get punished is how the other person get punished. So it's not, the goal is for me to see and act out of character because now I'm going to miss what God is doing in my life. And so I've learned the tactics that the enemy was trying to do in my life. And of course I expected him to use my husband because the place that should be my sacred place, the place that should make me feel the most safe, the place that I should be seen and valued at my highest when nobody else understands me is not a place where I can be those things because the enemy has allowed it to be use for something else. So no, I don't feel safe in that place to where I can be vulnerable because I know the enemy is operating there. So me being vulnerable with him will allow the enemy to know my thoughts and my motives, and therefore he will be more strategic with his strategies when he's targeting me. So because I've caught on to what the enemy is doing in my life and in this season, I've been able to manage this season by far more greater than I would have ever imagined and by far greater than I ever would have previously because God has given me the tools and I've been in close proximity with God and praying and fasting to take back the things that I have heard that I know are not true and that don't align with God's will for my life. And so in this season where the enemy wants me to act out, God is saying, watch your mouth, because if you get a grip and you pass this test, doors are going to open like never before. Eyes ain't seen and ears ain't heard, for real. Because this season costs you too much. It costs you too much. What do you want? Let me go get my charger. Hold on. Okay, I'm back. I didn't want to end it because I don't know if I'm all the way done yet. before I go. So I need to put my iPad up because it's dying. Uh-oh. Hold on, y'all. Bingo. We back in tune, ain't we? Let me see. Make sure. Uh-oh. I don't think I can see. Anyway. In this season of my life, it cost me too much. And how much are you willing to pay? And I had to realize that because sometimes some seasons weigh heavier than others. Some seasons are more more fragile than others. And some seasons are so strict where you don't have room for error. Because literally, you should be here by now. Literally, in the Bible, we talk about some of y'all still on baby food, like on milk when you should be on solids. It's like at this point, you should be here. You should be getting it because what I'm trying to do, you need to have all this in tune before I get there, before you get there, because if not, you're going to fumble the things that I'm trying to give you. So in this season of my life, I am having to, and I have learned previously, I have had to watch my mouth because, well, in this season and in the last season, I've learned that I had to watch my mouth because it will cost me too much in the season that I'm in right now. One wrong move, one wrong response, one wrong comment will cause you to fumble every single thing I am doing in this season. And do you want to pay that? And I don't. Last season where I was learning to watch my mouth, I had to realize that was my fragile season. Some seasons are more fragile than others. And last season, I remember my husband saying some of the most hurtful things that I've ever heard before in my life. When all I wanted to do was feel seen and heard. I'm already a person that deal with self-doubt because I've been mishandled. I've been misunderstood. I've been bounced around since I was a child. I was not my mother's favorite. I've had all these odds up against me, blah, blah, blah. Hence, I've always known I've been great. Always known it. But when the enemy is after you, he gets you at a young age to get you to stay in your own head and in your own thoughts. And because I deal with self-doubt, I struggle believe, even though I see what God is doing, I see my gifts and talents, I know how they pay, I know how they operate, I know how people admire me for them, man. If you know me for real, and you on my Facebook or whatever case may be, people be like, bro, what can't you do? I built a bed, I built a kitchen table by myself, I built all this stuff, I ran a successful embroidery business, I've been a nurse, a massage therapist, I did all of this hair, I did all of this stuff, and people be like, dang, what can't you do? But again, I see these things as well, but I still deal with self-doubt because I've always had to root for myself. And it's heavy when you got to be your own cheerleader all the time. Sometimes you just want a place that make you feel safe. Sometimes you just want a place to just be able to vent. You ain't even looking for nobody to fix your problems. I don't need nobody to come and save me. And that's what I love the most too, is that the only person that can do anything for me is God. Where I am right now, can't nobody do nothing for me but God. Nothing. Nothing. I don't need nobody to come and save me. I don't need nobody to do this. I don't need nobody to do that. The only thing I need is to feel seen, is to feel heard, is to feel wanted, is to be encouraged. I'm already having to carry the weight that I'm having to carry with being chosen. And if that ain't your assignment, I understand it. Everybody got an assignment, but the weight that come with that assignment is different. Pastors, I can only imagine the crushing that they got to go through to fulfill their assignment. I can only imagine. Being chosen, that weight's so heavy. And if that's not your assignment, I get it. Everybody got an assignment. And everybody's assignment come with some weight. But the weight is differential when the assignment is heavier. I'm chosen. My cross already heavy, bro. I don't need nobody else putting things on me that I don't want to carry. I don't. And so I'm in this place where I've had to be my own cheerleader, where I just want a place that makes me feel heard, seen, loved, encouraged. I don't want nobody to fix my problems. I am totally okay operating in the season with whatever that is for me, whether it's a little bit of money or a lot of bit of money, whether it's this or whether it's that, whether it's God saying, oh, we're being a mother here a lot more than we're working on your brand, whether it's God, oh, opening the door for me to expand my brand full range, and now I can do this and do that all at the same time. Whatever that is, I am okay operating where God has me, because I know if I am where God has me, I have been equipped, prepared. God prepares you. Pre means before. Wherever you are in this season of your life, you have been previously equipped for. You stay ready so you do not have to get ready. But some of y'all are not operating to the best of your ability because you wasn't content learning what God was teaching you in the last season. So you're not prepared for the things that you are supposed to be prepared for right now. Hence why your life is spiraling out of control. Your season is mismanaged because you didn't let God prepare you the way He needed to prepare you, because maybe you wanted to skip a few steps. Maybe you was like my situation. You had somebody who you needed to be your cheerleader, and they was really your op. Whatever the case may be, but you have got to let God prepare you in the ways that He knows He needs to prepare you, because if you do, when you get where you are going, you will be able to handle what God has assigned to you in that season. And people are mismanaging what they have because they are half equipped. And so I'm okay with whatever God has given me in this season, because I know I have been committed to doing what God has called me to do. And if this is where God has me, I have got to believe that just as God has provided previously, He will provide again. He'll do it. And so I'm in this season where I've had to be my own cheerleader, but that's been my whole life. And so self-doubt has been the way that the enemy has been able to try to get to me. My husband says these things that should be uplifting me. The Bible says, do not be harsh with your wife. The things that should make me feel safe and the things that should make me feel like I could talk to you about this and talk to you about that, I don't feel that from him. Which he is aware of. Everything we talk about up here, he's aware of. This is not no, oh, blah, 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 like, you're talking about him. Blah, blah. This ain't that. Grow up. People be thinking they know stuff and they don't know nothing. Trust me, people live a different life than what the eye perceives. Trust me, I did it for 8 years. I did it. I know what that looks like. People do it every day. So don't just believe that. You can't fall victim to believing, oh, it's not this or it's not that. This place where I should be able to be vulnerable, I don't have that. And so self-doubt has been the gateway for the enemy, because, oh, your own husband doesn't even believe in what you're doing. He doesn't support that. He said this. He said that. And so I'm having to trust and take back to God that, God, I have what it takes to do what you've called me to do. And I have to believe that the self-doubt is the tactic of the enemy, and I have to be able to navigate through that. I had therapy today, and I was telling my therapist this. I was telling her how self-doubt is something I'm struggling with. Because I'm one of those type of people, like I said, I'm gonna do what I say. It might take me a little bit longer because let's say for instance, my brand. I might configure up something, draw it up, be in the works of creating it, create it, and then boom, I start being like, I just don't know if it's gonna produce what I'm thinking it's gonna produce. Whole time I done did everything else. I just get stuck when it comes to. I just get stuck when it comes to me believing whether or not it's going to produce. I think that's maybe. Whether or not it's going to produce. Hold on. I just get stuck where they're believing it's going to produce what I expect it to produce, right? So I go through with it, but then I struggle with the self-doubt. So I was telling my therapist, it don't make it no easier when the person that you would like to support what you got going on don't do it. That should be the thing, the person that I know rooting for me at the end of the day when nobody else is rooting for me. But it don't make me feel like that. So I struggle with self-doubt more in this season than I have before, because I've never seen God do what he's doing in this season for me the way he's doing it. But I have to believe that just because it's unfamiliar doesn't mean it's not going to produce favor. Doesn't mean it's not going to work. So I was telling my therapist, you know, I've been walking with God through the self-doubt because I've been doing and actively, taking the steps that's necessary for me to do what I'm doing, which is my brand, you know, my merch and stuff like that. So I've been working on that, and I was telling her it's been a lot, and it's been heavy because self-doubt is my struggle. Self-doubt is where the enemy gets me. But I'm also thankful that God honors you. I'm trying to lay down my mom. That God honors your ability to try and not always get it right, right? So me doing what God has asked me to do, lay down my mom, is going to be what's necessary for me to overcome the self-doubt. So although I don't fully believe, although I don't fully see just yet what it is that God is doing, I still have faith to believe that it's going to produce what I'm expecting for it to produce. So I am doing the necessary steps to lead me up to that point. What is wrong? It's okay. It's okay, mommy. You cold? Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at in the season. But I wanted to get up here because I had to talk about, you know, this Watch Your Mouth series, this Watch Your Mouth episode. But I was getting at with the brand stuff before my sweet baby girl woke up. And I'm standing over here because I don't like to put, you know, if you know me, then you know I don't like to really put my kids, I don't put my kids on, you know, social media and stuff like that. Like, my boys, yeah, now, but when they, little babies, I don't, because that's just, I just don't. But so that's why I was standing over there a little bit. But anyway, I say all that to say about the self-doubt. I'm in this season where I'm doing some new stuff with my brand, and this crew neck here is one of the items that I just designed, and it's been, let me see if I can show you the back. It says Yahweh. The front says one way, the only way, and the back says Yahweh. And so I'm in the process of branching out in this season with BU Black Girl, but also forming Christian Apparel to where it's unisex. So although I've had some self-doubt, I've had encouragement from my friends and my therapist as well, who sees me white, who sees me. And so I'm thankful and I'm excited to see all that God has in store through that. So I'm going to have to wrap things up because motherhood is calling. And so I just wanted to get up here. Hey, relax. It's okay, mama. It's okay. So I just wanted to get up here and, you know, do a little 1-2 and just try to catch up, because I know I was a week behind and I know people were waiting, and so I didn't want to keep you guys waiting any longer. So this episode has been really good, and it actually turned out way better than the first one. So I'm happy I reshot it, and I was happy that I allowed the Holy Spirit to move me and to remind me of the things that I needed to talk about, because it's been such a great episode. So this is your girl Samantha. Until next time, because duty calls. This is your girl Samantha. This is my podcast, Naturalize. Until next time, my love, be you, Black girl.